Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to shortcut your understanding of complex human knowledge, and today, wow, we're tackling something absolutely fundamental. We're exploring the incredible, often unseen, power of belief.
It's quite the topic. We're bringing together some really diverse threads here. Ancient wisdom, I think Law of One, Eastern philosophy,
right,
and merging that with what modern science is showing us, quantum physics concepts, epigenetics, even the well-documented placebo effect.
Our goal really is to hand you the instruction manual for your own life. We want to show you exactly how your beliefs are operating as this kind of hidden blueprint for everything you experience.
Yeah, and the core message, the thing all these different sources actually agree on, is this. You're not just passively watching your life unfold. It's more like a dynamic dance. And your beliefs, they're the active forces. They're literally the architects building your limits, yes, but also they hold the key to your freedom.
Okay, let's unpack that properly. We need a solid definition first. When we say belief in this context, what exactly is that? More than just a random thought, I assume.
Oh, absolutely. It's way more than a fleeting thought. A belief is essentially the mind's agreement, its decision to accept something as true, deeply true. It acts like a mental framework, sure, but the really crucial part, it functions as a specific vibrational template.
A template. Okay, so if life is like a building project, the belief isn't just the idea, it's the actual energetic blueprint the universe builds from, like tuning into a specific radio station.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
Exactly. It connects your inner decision to an outer energetic reality.
Right.
But for that belief to be really strong, really functional, to actually shape what you see around you, it needs three dimensions. If one's missing, it often just fizzles out.
Three dimensions. Okay, tell us about those.
So first up, there's the cognitive part, the mental agreement. This is the easy bit, usually. It's the idea itself. The sky is blue or I'm capable.
Simple enough.
Second, and this is often the missing piece, the thing that makes a belief really potent is emotional resonance. This is the actual feeling, the emotional energy tied to that thought. You can say, I am abundant all day long.
But if you feel fear or lack deep down?
Exactly. The feeling cancels out the thought. The emotion is the fuel. The stronger the feeling, whether it's joy, security, or even fear, the deeper the belief is embedded and the more power it has.
Ah, okay, that clicks. So many people try affirmations, but they fail because that feeling part isn't there. Or worse, it's actually contradicting the words.
Precisely. And the third dimension, just as vital, is behavioral expression. How does a belief actually make you act? A genuine belief in your own success, for example, naturally leads you to take chances, to put yourself out there. Whereas a core belief in scarcity might make you hoard resources, avoid opportunities, you see.
Yeah, the actions automatically follow the belief. So if you deeply believe money is hard to come by, you'll act in ways that make it hard, find evidence that it's hard.
And confirm your own belief. It's a perfect self-reinforcing loop. Your perception literally filters reality to match your assumptions.
Okay, this is where it gets really fascinating for me. If beliefs are this fundamental blueprint, where do we even get the original designs? We're not just talking surface opinions here.
No, we need to look deeper. Think of your belief system like an iceberg. Right at the top, above the water, you have your surface beliefs. Conscious thoughts, opinions, I like rainy days, exercise is probably good for me, easy to see, easy to change mostly. Then, just below the surface, in the subconscious zone, are beliefs we often absorb without realizing it. From childhood, from culture. Things like, I need to please others to be loved, or you have to work incredibly hard to deserve good things.
Okay, the ones that run in the background.
Right. But the really powerful stuff, the foundation of the whole iceberg, are the core beliefs. These are your fundamental assumptions about who you are, how life works, what's possible. Life is a struggle versus the universe is inherently friendly. Changing one of these core beliefs, that's like changing the entire operating system. It automatically shifts hundreds of those smaller surface level patterns.
So where do these core ones come from? You mentioned four main sources.
That's right. The first two are pretty straightforward, relatively speaking. Childhood conditioning and society, what parents, teachers, culture drilled into us, like that money doesn't grow on trees, example.
Heard that one a few times.
And second, personal experiences, especially those with high emotional impact. A major business failure might cement a core belief like, I'm just not cut out for entrepreneurship. A painful rejection could lead to, I'm not worthy of love.
Makes sense. Those events carve deep grooves. But the third source, that's where we need to stretch our thinking a bit, drawing from Dolores Cannon's work again.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Cannon's QHHT sessions, the deep regressions, consistently pointed to origins beyond this lifetime. So The third source, beliefs originating from past lives.
Wow.
And even the fourth source, pre-birth planning. The idea that the soul, your higher self, actually chooses certain belief structures or challenges before incarnating, specifically to learn something crucial.
Okay, let me push back on that for a second because it sounds challenging. Why would a soul choose a limiting belief, like profound scarcity, if the goal is ultimately expansion and joy? Seems like taking the long, hard way around.
It often is the hard way. But the perspective from these sources is that souls don't really learn deep lessons like resilience or compassion or true gratitude when everything is easy. By choosing, say, a belief in lack, the soul sets up a scenario where overcoming that lack creates exponentially more wisdom and appreciation than if abundance was just handed over. The struggle itself becomes the curriculum.
That completely reframes limitations, doesn't it? They're not punishments, they're chosen challenges.
Okay, and this ties back into that self-reinforcing loop you mentioned.
Absolutely, perfectly. The belief acts like a filter. Science calls it confirmation bias, but it's amplified by the emotion attached. So the belief generates a feeling, maybe anxiety. That anxiety makes you act tentatively, maybe avoid risks. That leads to predictable outcomes, like not succeeding, which your mind then points to and says, see, I told you my original belief was right all along. And you mentioned this actually changes the brain.
Yes, through neuroplasticity.
Mm-hmm.
That repetitive loop literally strengthens certain neural pathways, physically wiring the belief pattern into your physiology. It becomes your default reality generator.
So it's psychological, emotional, and neurological.
Wow. Okay, so what's the practical takeaway here? If these core beliefs are running so deep, maybe even chosen before we got here, and they're hardwired, it can feel a bit like we're stuck on autopilot. How do we grab the wheel? How do we become, you know, conscious creators?
The key isn't trying to fight the belief head on with willpower. That rarely works for core stuff. The key is actually curiosity. Focused, almost forensic curiosity. Remember, the universe acts like a mirror to your vibrational template. To change the reflection, you have to investigate and change the template. And that starts with dismantling the old belief through questioning.
An architectural inspection, like you said. Okay, so what does that look like? What are the practical tools for this belief audit? It involves getting really honest with yourself, taking a core limiting belief you suspect you have, maybe I'm not good enough, and holding it up to the light.
Mm.
Ask yourself, is this belief absolutely 100% true in all circumstances without any exception?
Probably not when you really scrutinize it.
Rarely is it absolutely true. Then ask, where did I actually get this belief?
Mm.
When did I decide this was true? Was it even my decision or did I inherit it?
Tracing it back to the source.
Yes. And then perhaps the most revealing question, what would my life actually look and feel like just for one day or one week if I operated completely without this belief? Imagine that reality.
Ah, that creates a contrast. It forces the mind to see the limitation isn't inevitable. It opens up possibilities. So you identify the cracks, create that dissonance. Then what? You can't just leave a void?
Exactly right. Replacement is critical. You don't just delete the old software. You have to install a new, more functional operating system. And the sources are clear on the tools for this anchoring process. First, visualization. Not just daydreaming, but vividly feeling yourself living in the reality of the new, empowering belief. Engage all your senses. Feel the positive emotions now.
Making it real internally first.
Precisely. Second, affirmations, but done correctly. Powerful I am statements. I am worthy. I am capable. I am abundant. Spoken with genuine emotional resonance. Feeling the truth of it as you say it.
Connecting the thought and the feeling again.
Yes. And third, and this is a big one, acting as if. You start behaving, making small choices, taking actions that align with the new belief, even before it feels totally comfortable or real externally. This starts building new evidence for the new loop.
Okay, that makes sense. You actively start creating the proof for the new belief through your actions. Now let's broaden this out. We've talked self-creation, but this belief reality connection, it goes even further, right? Into physical health, even things like karma.
Absolutely. This is where combining the metaphysical insights, like from QHHT, with scientific understanding becomes incredibly powerful. The link between unresolved emotions, limiting beliefs, and actual physical health issues is undeniable in those sessions.
Can you give us a concrete example from the sources, something that really illustrates this connection?
Sure. There are numerous documented cases, but one type that comes up often is chronic pain, say severe back pain, that has no apparent physical cause doctors can find. In regression, the client might uncover a deep-seated subconscious belief like, I must carry the burdens for my family, or I have to suffer to be worthy.
Wow.
And when that belief and the trapped emotion connected to it is truly understood and released during the session, the pain can sometimes vanish instantly because the mind no longer needs the physical symptom to validate the belief.
That completely reframes how we think about illness. It suggests we have much more internal influence than we might believe. And connecting this to the science, this isn't just woo-woo, is it? This touches on epigenetics.
It really does. Epigenetics clearly shows our genes aren't necessarily our destiny. While the DNA sequence is relatively fixed, the expression of those genes, which ones get turned on or off, is heavily influenced by the environment. And a huge part of that environment is our internal state, our perception, our stress levels, our emotions, all driven by our beliefs. Believing you can heal literally changes your body chemistry to support healing.
Mind-blowing. Okay, taking it even further into the more advanced stuff. How do beliefs play into ideas like multidimensional reality or parallel timelines?
Think of your dominant belief system as setting your personal vibrational frequency. That frequency acts like a tuning dial. It naturally aligns you with or draws you towards the parallel reality or potential timeline that resonates with that frequency. So if you consistently cultivate and embody the belief I am successful and create value easily, you are, in effect, tuning your reality dial to the frequency band where successful outcomes are the norm for you. You literally shift timelines moment by moment based on your dominant vibration.
So every belief is a choice point for which reality track we experience.
In essence, yes. And tying this back to past lives, those really persistent, seemingly irrational core beliefs often carry karmic imprints. That deep feeling of I'm never safe, for example, might be an echo from a past life filled with danger. Recognizing its origin, this isn't actually my fear from this life. It's an old pattern. Acknowledging its lesson and consciously choosing a new belief like I am safe and guided now helps release that karmic residue.
Freeing yourself from old energetic baggage. Okay. We've covered the mechanics, the origins, the far-reaching applications. Let's bring it home. How do we integrate all this? How do we shift from understanding this intellectually to actually living as conscious creators day to day?
It boils down to actively using the pillars of conscious creation. It's a practice. First is awareness. Simply noticing your thoughts, your feelings, your automatic reactions without judging them, becoming the observer.
Step one, pay attention.
Exactly. Second is intention, getting crystal clear about what you do want to experience or create. Setting a focused, positive aim.
Knowing your destination.
Third, emotion. This is the amplifier. Deliberately cultivating the feelings, joy, gratitude, excitement, peace, that match your intention as if it's already happened.
Feeling it real.
Mm-hmm. And finally, aligned action. Taking those inspired steps, maybe small, maybe bold, that are in harmony with your new chosen belief and intention, even if the old reality hasn't fully caught up yet, you act from the new state.
Awareness, intention, emotion, action. And this isn't just about improving our own lives in isolation, is it? There's a bigger picture.
Oh, absolutely huge. The sources, especially Cannon's work, really emphasize the collective ripple effect. When you shift a significant limiting belief within yourself, you're not just changing your personal reality, you're actually raising your own frequency, and that energy contributes to the overall collective consciousness. It makes it subtly easier for everyone around you to question their own limitations, too. It's like you're helping renovate the collective blueprint.
That's a powerful thought, that our inner work has outer collective significance. So wrapping this incredible deep dive up, the main takeaway seems clear. Beliefs aren't concrete walls. They're more like adjustable lenses, tools for growth. You are not defined by your beliefs.
You are the creator of your beliefs.
Exactly.
And thinking about the future, about the reality we're co-creating, the beliefs we model for the next generation are profoundly important. So if you had to pick one core empowering belief to really instill in a child based on everything we've explored today, what would be the most vital one?
It feels like it has to circle back to inherent worthiness. Something like your value isn't based on what you do or achieve. It's intrinsic.
Beautifully put. The sources echo that strongly. You are worthy simply because you exist. And alongside that, perhaps, mistakes aren't failures. They're just opportunities to learn and grow. Imagine a generation raised on those core truths.
That would change everything. So the invitation to everyone listening is to use curiosity as your superpower. Start your own belief audit. What blueprints are you running on? And are they blueprints for the reality you truly want to build? Until next time, keep diving deep.